I have been excited about this series. How many times, possibly for you, have you been in love? I mean, let's look maybe since you were maybe 6 years old, let's say. How many times have you been in love? Now, for me, I have to go back to 4 years old because I was an early bloomer. So maybe, I don't know if you're anything like me, maybe 7 or 8 times you were in love. And listen, and I'm not even including the 5 or 6 times that I got married in somebody's backyard when I was in the first grade. That didn't even count those. But remember for you, if you are married, remember that time that you found the one and you're so in love, right? And everything about them is perfect, and they sound perfect, and they smell perfect, they look perfect, and their personality is perfect, and it was all so perfect. And so you get married, she's the one, he's the one, they're the couple. It's the storybook romance, and all of those feelings, all of those emotions, all of that dopamine coursing through your blood. It's the honeymoon period, right? We've been there if you've been married. And research tells us that that in love feeling lasts about 2 to 3 years. And then the honeymoon's over. And we begin to see their flaws. The ones we missed and the ones we overlooked, they're too sloppy or they're too neat. They make noises when they breathe. And at first they were cute, and now it's insufferable. She cracks her neck. He never lifts the toilet seat, or if he does, he never puts it down. All of these flaws, they started out small, and suddenly now they're becoming larger and larger, and sometimes larger until they get to the point that we think, I don't know you anymore. And we wonder, well, what's next? What am I going to discover next? How much of this am I going to have to endure? And then suddenly the person that we're married to, they might not feel like our soulmate any longer. Because really, who could stand to be married to that person that throws all their clothes on the floor? That person that lives like that? And so if you were looking for the perfect match, you're now wondering, is it really them? And your spouse is probably wondering the same thing about you. Because you know this is true, because now they're presenting you with a list of things and changes that need to be made in you. And you slowly begin to wonder, did I make a bad choice? Maybe we're not compatible after all. Maybe it's time to cut our losses and move on. And sadly, that is pretty common, right? That doesn't shock us or surprise us. We hear it all the time. But we don't want that reality for our future. Which is why in this series, we've been trying to better understand God's view and perspective of marriage as he describes it in his word. So, if we can, possibly, maybe, we can begin to see marriage as a spiritual friendship. We talked about that last week, between a man and a woman designed by God and perfectly suited for their journey toward that new creation that he is making in and of you. What if that special friendship that we call marriage is really not about romance? And not about adventure. What if it's more about helping each other grow out of our sins and out of our flaws, as together we become more and more the people that God has intended and planned for us to become? And it's all happening in that marriage between a man and a woman. And God's Spirit is working in that midst. What if marriage is actually a part of God's plan to make us into that reality of the things that he wants in our lives? What if marriage was never actually intended to be all roses and chocolate-covered strawberries and passion? But instead, what if marriage is God's ultimate, God-designed relationship that forces us to do the tough relational work that's going to impact us for the rest of our lives? And certainly, we're not promising through the series that this is going to be easy. In fact, far from it. But if marriage is not an emotion, and it's not really about passion and happiness and romance, and if marriage, if our understanding about it looked more like what God designed for marriage, then you are on your way to something incredible. And last week, we talked about how marriage should become, can become, needs to become that ultimate friendship. It's an ultimate relationship between humans, and it carries with it permanence and constancy and transparency and vulnerability. You see, when a couple says, I do, it begins everything. They have everything now really that they need as they begin to build this authentic life of change and growth. It has begun. When two people are saved and surrendered to Jesus, their King, and they're moving toward this shared common passion. We talked about it last week of Jesus being in control. And if that's the case, when those rough patches do come, then they are more prepared and more willing to do that hard work of marriage and then come out on the other side better because of it. So with God's view of marriage in mind, today we're going to look at, I brought with me my toolbox, and we're going to look this morning at some tools that we have been given in our marital toolbox to help us with that hard work that we're talking about today. This series is called I Do, Before, After, and Even If You Don't, because we're discovering God's wisdom in marriage. And we're saying this is what you need to know and why it matters, even if you're single. And Cole and I, as we're teaching through this series, we are not teaching as experts, but we are teaching as accurately as possible what an expert has taught us. And in this series, we've spent a lot of times in Ephesians chapter 5, and we will be back there for some other weeks. But this morning, we're still going to be in Ephesians, but we're going to look at a place in Ephesians before the Ephesians chapter 5 passage. It's one chapter earlier, and we're going to grab on to some powerful relationship tools that Paul mentions in that chapter. But just before, so this passage in chapter 5 that we've been spending our time on, right before that, Paul writes this short but very powerful line, and Paul is speaking specifically to Christ followers and the church. And he's writing that God has gifted Christ followers with something very special to help us to grow, and as we're on this journey of following Jesus. And with Christ followers, he's describing are functioning at their best, and they're growing day by day by day in this journey of following Jesus. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children, he describes. He says, we'll no longer be tossed and blown about by every wind of new. And by this, he's referring to false teachings. And this is where we pick up what Paul is saying. This is where we pick it up. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, so we won't be immature. We won't be like that. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love. And then he says, the result of that, speaking the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. In other words, for anyone who is surrendered to Christ as King, that's the goal. To grow more and more like Christ. And to help us do that, in this passage, Paul is mentioning three superpowers that God's Spirit provides for us. Three super tools that we can use inside, and he's speaking to Christians and the church, but in context of marriage, we can use these tools inside of marriage to help us as a couple become more and more like Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about two of those three tools. Today we're talking about truth and love. Two superpowers that are available to us, super tools that are available to us to help transform us into that new creation that God has planned for us. And since there is no other human relationship that is closer than marriage, in the context then of this series, it is inside of marriage possibly that these superpowers, these super tools are even more powerful, because no relationship comes close to marriage in terms of the closeness. Nothing is as close, not a friendship, not even a parent-child relationship, not a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Marriage, this is another tool. We're not really bringing it up as a tool. Marriage is like this magnifying mirror. You can't hide from anything in this sucker. I mean, it's so close, and it makes everything so much larger than life. The magnifying mirror is as up close and personal as we can get of ourselves. It's going to show you every wrinkle, every flaw, every hair, right, front and center. You're going to see every line, every bump, every imperfection. I know that was obtuse because my hands are full. Sorry. I apologize. I hope I coughed back there. We're going to see it all. Every flaw, every bump, everything that's wrong. And marriage works like that. Over time, marriage magnifies all your imperfections to your spouse, your imperfections to your spouse, and theirs to you. Because as your spouse sees you and hears you and smells you and lives with you, eventually all of those imperfections that you have, they're magnified. And nothing compares to marriage for this magnification, not even living together. It's not the same. Because when people are choosing to live together, they never mentally in their life, they never officially, really, fully merge their lives together. Not completely, not totally. In fact, oftentimes, many times, that's the reason. If this is shiny, I'm going to do this. I don't want to shine that in somebody's face. Many times, that's even the reason why two people don't get married, because they are afraid of that complete, full, one flesh merger. Just in case things don't work out right, just in case those weird habits become too much or those nasty behaviors, just in case they don't like what comes down the road, it's easier to escape. I didn't say it's easy, but it is easier. It's easier to walk away if they're just living together. So it's not at its core as close as marriage. Marriage is different. When you're married, you're together. And the scripture describes it, we talked about this last week or the week before, as being welded together. You're no longer just an individual. You are a brand new whole together. with a promise of future love. And you're so close up with one another that you are forced to see and deal with all that other stuff, forced to see and deal with those sins and those flaws, just like they are forced to see and deal with yours. That prideful, selfish opinion that gets spoken and that gets lived, it has to be dealt with. Or their imperfection, or them not willing to be flexible, they're inflexible. It becomes so obvious. Someone sulky or abrasive or harsh, or they're a pushover, or they're undisciplined with food or their health or their habits. They're unorganized, they're unreliable, they're distracted, they're impatient, they're irritable, they hold grudges, they have a quick temper, they hate to ask for help, they're negative, critical, judgmental. Maybe they're a people pleaser, or they stretch the truth, or they keep secrets from you, or maybe they're a tightwater, maybe they spend too much. Marriage welds together someone with you that is just as broken as you. And if marriage is in your future, or if you are married right now, marriage is that top tier relationship that can help you and can help me address, correct, and move beyond some of those flaws. But I need you to remember, though, this is being written by Paul. And as he is writing this, Paul is single. So Paul cannot be saying that you must get married if you're single. He's not saying that. If you are single, then here's the truth. Jesus and his church provides many of these things in your life. But if you're married, or if one day you're going to be married, your marriage provides these things even in a deeper way. Because the reality is, if another person, even a close friend, if they said something to you about any of those flaws that I just listed, see, in that relationship, it doesn't carry the permanence of marriage. You can just kick that person to the curb. I've seen it happen a lot. You can go find other friends that aren't going to talk about your flaws. You can just be around other people for a while. Give that friendship a break. I'm going to take a break. Might be back in a few months. You can ignore that. You can move along. But it never works that way with a spouse. With marriage, you can't avoid it, and you can't ignore it. And this is the beauty and the anxiety of marriage. Because now you're welded together by God's design, joined together. The old is gone, and God is creating something new between the two of you. So a problem or an irritation that is in a friendship can be ignored. But because of the closeness of marriage, marriage doesn't create the weaknesses in our lives. Marriage just reveals them. Like that magnifying mirror. It didn't give you those wrinkles. This mirror did not grow that hair on your chin. It didn't give you a unibrow. No, the marriage just reveals what is already there, reveals what weaknesses may already exist in you, in your life, in your character, and all of that together between you and your spouse, because it is so up close and personal. And that's a really good thing. That's the beauty of marriage. See, by being forced to look into that magnifying mirror, by being welded together with another person, it might seem scary, but it reveals truth. And as Paul describes, inside of love. Now, we have to remember what our goal is. Our goal as a follower of Jesus is to become more and more and more like Jesus. I mean, how else would I begin to change into that new creation when I feel like I'm already doing pretty good? And if we feel like we're already doing pretty good, I don't need a magnifying mirror. I don't need that closeness. When we fool ourselves into thinking we're doing pretty good, that keeps us from changing into what God wants to change us into. By design, marriage has the superpower, the super tool of truth. It comes preloaded in your marriage toolbox. Marriage is going to magnify our character. And we can see areas in our life that are not like Jesus. Marriage helps us to focus and deal with our flaws. Again, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But I just want us to consider, even though this topic might upset you, when a spouse sheds some light on our flaws, it really isn't the spouse that's doing it all. It's God's institution of marriage that exposes us. Marriage, by its very design, shows us a more realistic picture of who I am as Harley. And it's unflattering at times, often. It's a picture I really never have imagined of myself. But it forces us to look at it, who this really is, and to pay attention to who we really are. And I say all of that about truth, this super tool, superpower of truth, to say this. Give your spouse the right and the platform to talk with you about what is wrong with you. It's truly the very essence of the gospel. You and I are more broken and we are more sinful than we ever realized. And so this talk, this conversation from a spouse, this is a very Jesus-like activity. But remember, that's not the entire gospel. All truth is not the entire gospel. That's not the entire leverage that marriage has in this becoming like Jesus thing. Yes, yes, yes. I am and you are more sinful and more flawed than we have ever realized. But guess what? In marriage, our spouse accepts us as we are because of love, that superpower, that super tool that comes preloaded in your toolbox of love. Marriage is a spouse looking at their husband or wife and saying, as broken as you are, I love you anyway. I love you enough to want to be along for the ride as we both become the people that God wants us to become. But that is not natural to us. That is not our natural response. And I realize as I say these words that you could inside in your spirit, you could be getting irritated with me right now, because our natural response at all of this is to run away, to withdraw perhaps, or to get angry or offended, maybe to fight and blame. That's our natural response. In our weakness, we might even be thinking to ourselves over and over again in a relationship, I need to find someone better than this. But just think with me for just a moment. Is it possible that the someone better is actually them? Because if we are both becoming more and more and more like Jesus, then the someone better, that future version of your spouse is better. As both of you chase after the same goal, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And this is the gospel in marriage, as we give each other the right and the platform to hold one another accountable. There's another portion of scripture that Paul wrote. Well, actually, we don't know that Paul wrote it, but a new covenant writer wrote this in Hebrews. Many people think it might be Paul. We're just not sure. But here's what he says. And this writer is also speaking to Christians. Hebrews 3, verse 13. The writer says, you must warn each other every day while it is still today. Why? So that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Daily. As long as it's today. So that none of us will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's the superpower, the super tool of truth, preloaded in a marriage toolbox. Now, in this broken world in which we live, people say things to you and they say things to me all the time that hurt just as you live your life. You hear hurtful things from family. You hear hurtful things at work. Things hurt. Those words hurt. And beyond that, if you're anything like me, I have a constant loop in my mind, me talking to myself, reminding me how horrible and lousy I am. I probably hurt myself more than anyone else combined. And all of those hurtful things, they add up and they make me a more broken me. But now, in marriage, there is actually someone who can begin to overturn all of that accumulated judgment from others and judgment that we have heaped upon ourselves. And it's their superpower of love, the super tool already in your marriage toolbox of love. And it can actually be used by Christ to reprogram your thoughts about yourself. Their superpower of love can actually be used by Christ to redeem some of that hurt from our past. And a spouse has been given that superpower to be part of the process to heal some of your deepest wounds. Do you realize Adam had a perfect relationship with God? perfect. But yet, God said something was not good. Nobody had sinned yet. You see, God designed us not just for a relationship with Him. He designed us for a relationship of human love as well. It is God's design. And in marriage, your spouse's love for you works together with Christ's love for you to make changes in your life. That great love of Christ, which covers our sin, it begins to undo what the world has been saying about us that we have taken in. And all of that, what Christ does for you in His love, you see, the truth must always function, that super tool, superpower, even for Christ, of truth must always function with love. They go together. And that love that Christ has for you, that has the power to undo what the world says about you, is lived out in a miniature form through your marriage. Here's a question. Okay, maybe you believe me about this superpower of truth with superpower of love, and now thinking about the superpower of love, here's a question. But how do you use this superpower of love? Does that spouse actually feel loved? Experts tell us that everyone has a love language. And for your spouse to hear you speaking the superpower of love into their life, you have to speak their language. As you tell them you love them, you show them you love them, you have to do that in their language. You see, if you only speak English, and your spouse only speaks German, you can say, I love you all you want, every day, many times a day, but your spouse will never, ever have an idea of what you're saying. They won't hear it. Think about it this way. I'm going to take a small radio and place it on top of this giant radio. Think about it like a radio, okay? So we have a radio station, and I'm selecting right here, I'm selecting a channel. Let's say you're working really hard at broadcasting love across your station. Let's say your wife or your husband listens to B98.5 FM. B98.5. That's what they're tuned to. They only hear that station regarding love. That's the only station they hear. That's their station. It's their jam. That's all they can hear because that's what their life has already been tuned into. But let's say for you, your station is 107.7. You like a little better jam. You like that old stuff. 107.7. That's your jam. You are broadcasting all of your love on 107.7 because that's your station. That's your language. That's your station. And you're sending a lot of love out there. The message is being broadcast. But your spouse will never receive any of it. But actually, you've been loving and loving and loving and loving. But to them, it's radio silence. You're not being loving at all, actually, to them. You have to find their station. And you learn to broadcast all of your love on their station. And they have to find yours and do the same for you. love. Send it on the right signal, or they will never hear it. Speak the right language, or they will never understand your love. Experts tell us there's a few examples. There may be many, many. They give us at least four here. Some people's station, some people's language is their words of affirmation. That's what they hear. That's all the way to make them feel loved. For some people, it's quality time together. For some people, it's acts of service. For some people, it's gifts. Now, we don't have time today to do a seminar on the love languages today, but you need to discover that of your spouse as soon as possible, and they need to discover yours. Because we usually just simply speak love and live love towards them using our language, because it's very loving to us, we feel, but it's not theirs. And here's what's worse. Speaking the wrong language, the wrong love language, doesn't even sound like love to them. It doesn't sound like I love you. You know what it sounds like to them? Even though for you it's very loving to them, here's what it sounds like. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about me. They hear actually the opposite. And understanding this about marriage and making this shift in your marriage is a big transition, an adult transition. It transitions from being in love, that feeling, to real love. You see, romantic love sweeps us up, but romantic love always wears off. But real love is deliberate. Real love is a choice, and it's best over the long haul. And as we make that switch, it might be mechanical at first. It will be, because you're not speaking your love language. You're speaking theirs. It is mechanical. But if you commit to it over the long haul, it becomes amazing. So this morning, you have preloaded in your toolbox, your marriage toolbox, some superpowers, some super tools. Truth and love. They're better together. Truth and love. And when those tools are used within the most important human relationship in life, marriage, then you too become better together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. No longer immature. No longer immature. Instead, we will speak truth in love better together. Growing in every way to be more like Christ, so we become better together. Christ, who is the head of this body, the church. So this morning, some big takeaways. Give your spouse the right and the platform to talk about what is wrong with you. And it's better with the super power, the super tool of love, because it can help heal the scars of a life that is lived in this broken world. And I need you to know this. Sometimes upon this foundation of truth and love, many times we still need help. We still need a guide. We still often need a counselor to help us root out some of these deep-seated patterns and years of trauma and years of scars. And if that's your situation, and just let Cole and I know, we are not counselors, but we will do our best to get you a phone number of someone who is, that we trust, who can come alongside of you and help. Superpowers, super tools, truth with love, they're better together. And as you use them in this most important relationship of your life, then you are also better together. Let's pray. God, your word tells us that instead of having an immature life, an immature perspective, that God, with your help and with your guidance, with your Spirit working in our lives, we can speak the truth in love. And in doing so, growing in every way, more and more like you, Jesus. You are the head of your body, the church. And I pray that you would help us today, this week. Allow that to sink into our lives and our hearts. The superpower, the super tool of truth and love. We pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.